This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Welcome to the CIO House View Daily, bringing you the latest market developments and investment insights. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Tuesday, the 1st of September, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equity markets delivered a mixed performance. At the latest US close, a S&P 500 fell 30 bips, while the Nasdaq edged 10 bips higher. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 was unchanged, while Switzerland's SMI gained 40 bips. In Asia, the Nikkei 225 and China's Shanghai Composite declined 10 and 20 bips respectively. In foreign exchange, the euro buys 1.159 US dollars, while the dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield stands at 4.78%, up 3 basis points. Brent crude gained 1.3% to $92 a barrel, while gold fell 30 bips to $4,434 an ounce. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments. Against that backdrop, a sell-off in global bonds drove yields to new highs at the start of the week as renewed fighting in the Middle East pushed oil prices higher and weighed on investor sentiment. US President Donald Trump threatened further strikes against Iran after the Islamic Republic launched missiles at two US air bases in Jordan. Over the weekend, Washington said it had struck Iranian launchers that were deploying mines into the Strait of Hormuz. The 10-year US Treasury yield rose to nearly 4.78%, its highest level since January 2025, while the 30-year yield stood at 5.27% at the time of writing. Long-dated German and French bond yields both reached their highest levels in 15 years. The 10-year Japanese government bond yield briefly hit 3% for the first time in 30 years, while Brent crude climbed above $92 a barrel. With no clear path to reopening the strait after 6 months of war, inflation worries remain elevated. Uncertainty over the Federal Reserve's policy outlook, fiscal concerns, and rising AI-related debt issuance have all kept bonds under pressure. Yield volatility is likely to persist in the near term, and structural factors could keep long-dated bond yields elevated. We now expect the 30-year and 10-year Treasury yields to end the year at 5% and 4.5% respectively. But we also believe yields on shorter-dated government bonds, which should decline in the coming months, and we maintain our preference for high-quality bonds with short to intermediate maturities. Energy flows through the Strait should recover over time. The situation in the Middle East remains fluid, with both Washington and Tehran signalling that they are prepared to respond to further attacks. But while oil prices remain elevated relative to pre-conflict levels, they should stay well below those associated with a meaningful shock to global growth as efforts to reopen the Strait of Hormuz continue. Our base case remains that traffic through the waterway should recover gradually amid economic pressures on the US, Iran, and the Gulf countries. Inflation should also moderate further. A gradual resumption of oil supplies should re-inflationary trend evident in recent US data. While July's overall core personal consumption expenditures price index did not point to a significant slowing in inflation, the contribution from oil and tariff-sensitive categories to the share of components with elevated inflation has fallen by half over the past 4 months. Upcoming methodological revisions to the calculation of prices for digital goods and financial services could lower personal consumption expenditures inflation by 0.2 percentage points. Shelter inflation has also been running at a rate similar to or lower than its pre-pandemic pace, while slower wage growth should further support stable or lower inflation in wage-sensitive services. The Fed has room to keep interest rates steady. We believe incoming data should allow it to remain on hold for the rest of this year. Although Fed officials have recently made hawkish comments about inflation risks, policymakers have also emphasized the US central bank's data-dependent approach. We expect market pricing for Fed rate hikes to recede as confidence in continued disinflation increases, allowing short-dated bond yields to decline. We therefore continue to see an attractive risk-return profile in high-quality government and corporate bonds with short to intermediate maturities. Yields are likely to decline over the coming months, while their currently elevated levels provide a cushion against volatility and serve as an important driver of returns. Turning now to another development that caught our attention, Japan's 10-year government bond yield briefly hit 3% on Tuesday for the first time since 1996, marking its highest level in 30 years. Expectations for a higher terminal policy rate and earlier Bank of Japan rate hikes have contributed to the recent sharp rise in yields, alongside higher inflation expectations and a renewed focus on fiscal sustainability. The reduction of the Bank of Japan's balance sheet since late 2024 has also led to a structural shift in government bond supply and demand. However, an auction of 1.99 trillion Japanese yen in 10-year government bonds later in the day drew decent demand, helping anchor the yield below 3%. While we now expect the Bank of Japan to continue raising interest rates until they reach 1.75% and have recently revised our yield forecast higher, we still expect the 10-year yield to stabilize at around 2.9%. Should it remain above 3% for a longer period, we see ways for the Japanese government to intervene and limit the budgetary implications. These include guiding the Government Pension Investment Fund to increase its allocation to Japanese government bonds and the Bank of Japan purchasing long-term bonds. An acceleration of central bank rate hikes is also possible. On Japanese equities, we believe robust earnings should remain the key performance driver, and we maintain a constructive outlook on the market. Another area that caught our attention is South Korea's proposal for a record budget to accelerate AI investment. The government this week proposed spending 821 trillion Korean won, equivalent to $597 billion in 2027. That represents a 12.8% increase from this year's plan and is intended to strengthen the country's position in the global AI race. The proposal includes $1.9 billion for semiconductors and $15.5 billion for industrial water, power grid, and logistics infrastructure supporting chip production. The government expects tax revenue to rise 40.7% to around $425 billion, helped by semiconductor profits, while net bond issuance is set to decline. Parliament must approve the proposal as the next step. South Korea's plans reinforce our view that AI spending is broadening into an infrastructure and productivity investment cycle, extending beyond chips to power generation, grids, data centers, networking, and industrial automation. Recent AI earnings commentary points to resilient demand across hyperscalers, AI cloud providers, enterprises, and sovereign projects, although investors are likely to focus increasingly on monetization and returns on capital. We see long-term potential for further gains in the theme, but the risk of a period of consolidation or overcapacity could increase over the next 12 to 18 months. We favor diversified exposure across enabling infrastructure, intelligence, and applications rather than concentration in the most crowded beneficiaries. Looking ahead to the 2nd of September, the focus will be on Australia's second quarter economic growth, the Bank of Canada's interest rate decision, and Broadcom's earnings. And that's it for today. I'm Christopher Swan from the UBS Chief Investment Office, and we look forward to bringing you the latest update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.